know, it's good that we're moving in the right direction, and so thankful for all that God has done and is doing in our lives. Today's taking a break from our sermon series of Now and Later, and we'll pick that back up on next week because you know what we're talking about today, right? Today is the world is celebrating the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And, you know, there are many who are still doubting Jesus, still doubting his resurrection. And there's nothing new. You know, even those in the first century, they saw the miracles of Jesus. They saw him restore sight to the blind. They saw him call men that were paralytic, and they walked up lame men, got up and walked and ran. He even raised one from the dead. And even though people saw all of that and heard the stories of Jesus Christ, yeah, there were many that believed because of his works, but yet there were still many who doubted, even seeing, even being eyewitnesses. The reason that happened, I believe, is because they had been fed a lie and they believed a lie. Yesterday we gathered together as we had a bunch of youth, and we gathered together and went over the Winterfest program. And first I want to thank Lisa and Boyd and all those that helped put that together, and Janelle Anderson, who came and also participated and helped. And we had 24 children that were here, praise God, for that event. And the topic was truth. And we were talking about truth and lies and belief. And there was an illustration that we talked about on yesterday that really caught my attention. And it said there was the islands of Indonesia are among the most beautiful islands in the world. Beautiful tropical waters and beautiful reefs, fish of all sorts of colors. Tourists, surfers, scuba divers from around the world come to that island in order to be able to discover the hidden jewels and the beauty of all that's there, the aquatic playground. But the locals that live right there, amongst all this beauty, won't swim in their own waters, won't partake in the beauty of what's all around them. I mean, yeah, they'll get in their fishing boats and go out and fish, but they won't swim in the waters. The reason they won't swim in those beautiful waters is because they had believed a lie. They had been fed a lie and believed a lie. Someone told them that there were demons in the water way back when, and that if they would jump into the water, if they would swim in that water, that the demons would come in to them and harm them and their families. And so because of all of that, with all the beauty around them, they won't get in to this tropical waters that everyone from around the world comes to enjoy. And I want you to just imagine that for a moment. Think about that. Think about the power of a lie. Think about the power that it can restrict you from something so beautiful, something that will enhance your life. But if we accept a lie as truth, it blocks us from our blessings. Amen? Jesus lives. Let me say that again because maybe you didn't hear me. Jesus lives.
Amen.
Amen. He lives. He lives. Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me. He talks with me. That's what the song says. God foretold by the prophet Isaiah in Isaiah chapter 53, verse 3, that Jesus would be despised and rejected by men. John, in his account, he told of men and women who would not believe and would not receive Jesus despite the evidence. He says in John 1:11, he came to his own and his own did not receive him. In other words, those that should have believed, those that were raised up in the schools learning about Messiah that is coming, when Messiah comes, fulfilling the prophecies, showing the evidence of who he is by what he was doing, seeing all of the evidence, they yet did not believe. It says that he came to his own and his own did not receive him. However, I'm glad for the very next verse 12. Because verse 12 says that he came to his own did not receive him. But then it says, but to those who did receive him, to those that believed in his name, he gave them the right to become children of God. Hey, I think I got a bunch of verse 12 folk right here this morning, amen? Folk that believe in Jesus Christ, those have now been enabled to be able to enter into this family, to become the right to become the children of God. And if you're in that group, man, it's a beautiful group. And if you're still hesitant, first of all, I want to say that's okay. What do you mean that's okay? What I'm saying is it's okay to be hesitant. It's okay to examine. It's okay to continue to search. It's okay to continue to dig. See, I believe faith isn't a blind faith where we just accept and that's it. No, I believe the scripture gives us sufficient evidence that there is enough information within the Word of God to convince those that are truly seeking to find the answers. Jesus has asked, and it shall be given. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and the door will be open. And I believe there's sufficient evidence for you to come to the conclusion, if you have an open heart and an open mind, to look. But that's what it takes, an open heart and an open mind and a desire. That those in Indonesia, that there were some, I'm sure, that decided, you know what? Water just looks too beautiful. Everyone else around the world is doing it. Maybe I should put my toe in the water. Oh, wow. That's not bad. Maybe I'll put the leg in the water. Huh. I'm still all right. Now I can go ahead and dive right on in there and enjoy the beauty of all that is around. Amen. The truth, Jesus said, will what? Set you free. Amen. I want us to look at Matthew chapter 27. Matthew chapter 27, verses 62 to 66. Matthew 27, verses 62 to 66. It said, the next day, the one after preparation day, the chief priests and the Pharisees went to Pilate. Sir, they said, we remember that while he was still alive, that deceiver said, after 3 days, I will rise again. So give the order for the tomb to be made secure until the third day. Otherwise, his disciples may come and steal the body and tell the people that he has been raised from the dead. And the last deception will be worse than the first. Take a guard, Pilate answered. Go make the tomb as secure as you know how. And so they went and they made the tomb secure by putting a seal on the stone and posting a guard. Let us pray. Father in heaven, open our eyes, Lord, to your word. Help us as we remember not only Jesus' sacrifice, but his victory. Help us as we recognize the implications of that in our lives and in this world. And help us to continue to tell the story. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Jesus was championed as a king. You remember his triumphant entry into Jerusalem, and the people were shouting greatly about Jesus. Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. The people had heard what Jesus had done. And now he was coming into their town, and they were preparing. They had already had images of who Jesus was and what he was all about. Remember, in their mind, they had been under the oppression of the Romans. They are now a Roman state, and Rome is ruling over them, but they wanted to be freed from that bondage. They wanted to have the same glory they had in the times past. You remember when King David was on the throne, and you remember the strength and the power that they had. They were someone to be reckoned with, but now they had been minimized as a nation. And they looked with hope to Jesus. What were they looking for? They weren't looking for a king to come in and to rescue them from sin. No, they were looking for a king to come in and be the triumphant leader to give them the ability to have a revolution against Rome. So they could have that power once again. And so they yell out, Hosanna to the Son of David. Now we remember David was a mighty warrior. And as they're saying Hosanna, oftentimes we think Hosanna is just praise, but really it's saying save me. And they didn't even really know what they were asking for salvation from. They were looking for saving from this rule. But Jesus came to give them something even greater. See, remember, they believed this lie about who Jesus was and about what Jesus was coming to do. And when Jesus didn't fit what they thought, how they thought, the lie they believed about who Messiah was and what Messiah was going to do, when Jesus did not fit all of that, what did they do? They crucified him. However, we recognize that Jesus came with a greater purpose, that he wasn't here to save this nation and from Roman rule, but instead to save the world and free them from Satan's rule. See, Jesus made some bold claims. He made some bold claims. Remember in Matthew chapter 16, verse 21, it says, from that time on, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things at the hands of the elders, chief priests, and scribes, and that he must be killed on the third day and be raised to life. In John chapter 10, verse 18, Jesus says, no one takes it from me, but I lay it down on my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up. This charge I've received from my Father. In John chapter 2, verse 18, 19, it says, on this account, the Jews demanded, what sign can you show to prove us your authority to do these things? And Jesus answered and he said, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up again. You remember Muhammad Ali? Muhammad Ali used to make some bold claims. He used to call out and say, on this round, I'm going to knock him out. Y'all remember that? And folk didn't like the claims that Muhammad Ali made. I mean, and the boxers that were in the ring, they're like, I'm going to shut his mouth. I'm going to shut his mouth. And he would play this type of game with them because he could make these predictions, and a lot of times they came true. But the difference between Ali and Jesus is every time Jesus makes a prediction, it comes true. Every time. And I want you to see that the religious leaders, hearing about these bold claims of Jesus, wanted to do whatever it was to stop what Jesus was saying, to shut his mouth, to stop the progress of this new mission, this new group of called Christians. They feared. They heard. They knew what Jesus said. And so what they did, after Jesus died, after he's put into the tomb, we got to go to Pilate. We need some backup. So they go And it says that the next day after, on the day of preparation day, the chief priests and the Pharisees went to Pilate. And they said, "We remember that while he was still living, the deceiver," they're calling him a deceiver, "he said, 'After 3 days, I will rise again.' So give order to the tomb to be made secure until the third day. Otherwise, his disciples may come in and steal the body and tell the people that he had been raised from the dead. And this deception will be worse than the first." And look at what Pilate says. Pilate says, "Take a guard. Go make the tomb as secure as you know how." And so they went and they made the tomb secure by putting a seal on the stone and posting the guard. They pleaded with Pilate, "Pilate, help us. We can't let this," what they're calling this lie, which is actual truth, "go out. Let's do everything we possibly can to stop this. Let's do everything we possibly can to make sure that this does not happen. We heard what he said, and we can't let it happen." And so what do they do? They do three things. They, the three S's, the stone. First, the stone. He's placed into a tomb, a new tomb by Joseph of Arimathea, being placed in this new tomb, and then they put a stone over it. After the stone, they put a seal on the stone. The seal was an authentication. The seal represented the power of Rome. They would put something over it and then seal it on the ends to make sure that if it moved at all, first of all, you would know. Second of all, if you did anything to it, it's backed up by the power of the Roman government. And so come touch it if you want, but it's your life on the line if you do. And then, of course, the soldiers. So you've got a huge stone. You've got this great seal. And then you have soldiers. And there's a big debate. Were they the temple guards? Were they the Roman soldiers? I don't know. But I know there were soldiers that were willing to die, willing to fight, willing to protect at all costs because their lives would be on the line. I want you to think about that for a moment. This is the biggest event in their lives. They are guarding the most important person, thing that they've ever done in their lives. I mean, these are one of those things that this will set up your career. Do this right, and you're set for life. But if you make a mistake on this, they protected it in every way humanly possible. But yet, and this is the title of the message, I didn't give it earlier. Jesus says, "Still I rise. Still I rise." You can do whatever you want. You can try your very best. You can put all your, do all your due diligence and making sure that you're covering, you're dotting every I and crossing every T and all of that. Yet still I rise. Look at what he says in chapter 28. It says that after the Sabbath, at the dawn of the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to the tomb to look at the tomb. And there was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were white as snow, and the guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. The angel said to the woman, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He has risen." Amen. Just as he said. Come and see the place where they lay, where he lay. And they went. Then they go quickly and tell the disciples, "He has risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you." And so the woman hurried away from the tomb, afraid yet filled with joy, and ran to tell his disciples. I like that little added element, right? They were running with fear and also joy. Running with, what is this that we've just seen? This is just so remarkable. This is just so incredible. Matter of fact, as they were walking to the tomb, they were actually wondering for themselves, how are we going to be able to move this huge stone? I mean, this is uncommon. How are we going to, but they were, listen, they were walking in faith. Maybe we'll have some of the soldiers move it for us. Maybe some people will gather around. Maybe we can just make our own attempts to be able to do it. Because remember, this is now the third day. If Jesus had not risen, he was a liar. If Jesus had not risen, he was a false prophet. If Jesus had not risen, this was all a charade. But they start walking to that tomb, and they get there. And all of a sudden, the stone is already rolled away. An angel there saying, "Look, he's not here. He's risen. Go and tell the others." Now remember the lie that they were trying to say. Well, you'll see it in a second. Let me go down to verse 11, Matthew 28:11. While the women were on their way, some of the guards went into the city and reported to the chief priests everything that had happened. And when the chief priests had met with the elders and devised a plan, they gave the soldiers a large sum of money, telling them, "You are to say his disciples came during the night and stole him away while we were asleep. If this report gets out to the governor, we will satisfy him and keep you out of trouble." So the soldiers took the money and did as they were instructed. And this story, this lie, has been widely circulated among the Jews to this very day. He's saying, first of all, the guards were paralyzed by the angel of the Lord, unable to protect what they were charged to protect. Now, after Jesus had rose from the dead, and after they recognize, look, we're in some trouble. They go back and they tell exactly what happened to the chief priests and the elders. And they confirm, they have this meeting and say, what are we going to do now? See, this is what bothers me about this. See that when confronted with truth, I believe we all ought to be truth seekers. I believe when the evidence is so clear, you ought to change on whatever position you are. See, there aren't positions, I mean, there are very few positions in my life where I just take the hardest of stance and say, you can never change my mind on this. There are a few. What I like to do is keep an open mind to say, if you give me enough evidence, I'm willing to look at it, examine it, and even change according to it. And you don't know how many times that's happened in my life. And I'm sure for many of you, it's the same exact thing. But what I see here are people who have been now shown the truth about what happened. He made the claim and he fulfilled it.
The very people who were charged with protecting the tomb saw it and told it. And instead of saying, you know what, we were wrong, they continue to embrace the lie and propagate and promote and push this false agenda. See, one thing I recognize about lies, if you continue to tell a lie long enough, people will embrace it. I think we've seen that, haven't we? If you continue to just tell a lie long enough, people will buy into it. And he makes that statement right here. That even to this day, at the day of this writing, it was still being circulated. It was still being believed by others. Jesus rose. He rose. Early on Sunday morning, Jesus rose with all power in his hand, triumphant over death, victory in his hands, victory over death. Jesus rose. And he declares it to the world, still I rise. You can try to control the situation, still I rise. You can try to change the narrative, but still I rise. You can try and spread the lies, yet still I rise. You can try and do everything in your humanly impossible that you can do as a human, but yet still I rise. And they did not expect this one thing. Even with their lies, they didn't expect this one thing. They didn't expect that Jesus not only would rise, but would show himself again. See, it would have been, if that was the end of the story, there could be a whole lot more speculation. Well, you know, maybe they did steal his body. Maybe it was. But the problem is, he came back and showed himself again. We have eyewitness accounts. Look at Paul's account. Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, he says, now, brothers, I want to remind you of the gospel which I preached, verse 1, which you received and in which you take your stand. By this gospel you're saved if you hold firmly to the word I preach. Otherwise, you believed in vain. For what I received, I pass on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to scriptures, that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day according to scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas, and then to the 12. And after that, he appeared to more than 500 of the brothers and sisters at the same time. Listen to this. Most of whom are still living, though some have fallen asleep. I want you to understand that at the time of his writing, there were people that were still living that had viewed the resurrected Jesus. What this does, this gives confidence not only in what Jesus did, but even confidence in the very writings of this book that we have, that shows us that at the time, see, it's hard to write a big lie about what happened and have people embrace it. About what big event just happened. Let's say just COVID, period. Well, COVID wasn't really anything. Didn't, you know, let's say 20, 30 years from now, someone says it wasn't really a big situation at all. About 20 people died from the situation, and it really didn't disrupt people's lives too much. And you who are living at that time hearing that lie, what would you say? You say Tony Baloney, wouldn't you? Say Tony Baloney. No. You might not say that, but you something's wrong with you. Paul's saying Jesus died, he was buried, he rose, he appeared to Cephas, to Peter, to the 12. He appeared to more than 500 brothers and sisters at the same time. And then he also says, most of whom are still living, even though some have died. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles, and last of all he appeared, he says, to me also. You remember on that road to Damascus, he appeared even to the Apostle Paul. Jesus was with them for 40 days before he ascended back to heaven.
Jesus rose. There's sufficient evidence that he rose. The elders, the chief priests, had that evidence that he rose, and yet they still pushed the lie. See, this is the blessing about recognizing his resurrection. Because of his resurrection, first of all, Jesus is undoubtedly the Christ. He's the one that the prophet has spoken about. He's the one that they were waiting for to free from oppression. But it wasn't oppression from Roman rule. It was us in our sickness, in our this disease we have called sin, this bondage that we have to sin. He comes to free us from that bondage by his blood, by his sacrifice, by what he did on the cross. He comes to free us. Acts 2:36, this is God made this same Jesus whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. Second, the resurrection of Christ guarantees our future resurrection. Look, that he rose, we can also rise. He has victory, and if we're attached to him and we're with him, we too can rise. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, 14 says, knowing that he who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us also with Jesus and bring us with you into his presence. His resurrection has great blessings and benefits for us and for all mankind. Third, hope and fear are gone. The song, you heard the song, Because He Lives? Because He Lives, I can face tomorrow. Because He Lives, all fear is gone. Because He lives, and I recognize His resurrection, I've got something to look forward to. I've got a living hope. Look at what 1 Peter 1:3 says. It says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to His great mercy, He's caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And then lastly, the great benefit is that we can really be saved from our sins. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, that in him we might become the righteousness of God. They tried to stop. Jesus declares by his actions, still I rise. Because he understood that he had a purpose. There's a purpose in what he did. This isn't just a good story that we tell. We tell it every week. We tell it every week. We thank him every day for what he done for us. What he accomplished on the cross instead of us. So all of us should be up there. All of us. But he did it for us. He sacrificed and gave. And I pray that on this morning, on this Resurrection Sunday, that maybe some of you may be able to just come and surrender to Jesus Christ, recognizing that because of what he did, you can be a recipient of all the blessings that come along with being in the family of God, of being saved from your sins, of now being a part of what Jesus has come to give us, this great salvation of the very purpose he came to this world. He saw our struggle in sin, and he decided to be the remedy. He decided to be our Savior. If you're ready to accept him as Savior, as your Savior, why not come this morning? Today's a beautiful, beautiful morning. And I know on last week we had one. We had one, Kathy, praise God, that came and said, I'm ready. I hope there's someone else ready.
Matter of fact, Kathy, I think it's your birthday today. Happy birthday to you. just drop a little seed there. But she said she was ready last week. Is there one today that's ready, that you're ready to be plunged in that watery grave of baptism so that Jesus can do a work that you could not do for yourself? So that's the beauty about what Jesus did on the cross. He's doing stuff for us we can't do for ourselves. I can't make myself right for Jesus. I can't fix myself up. I can't clean up my act and cleaning up my act be enough for Jesus. You know why? Because there's no way I can clean myself up enough for a holy and just and righteous God. I mean, my very best of cleaning up. You know how folks say, you clean up well, you know, and they looking at your clothes and all that, you know. But there's some defects still, even though you might be clean, sharp clean, Easter sharp clean, praise God. There's still some defects. Let me show you my sock. All right, no, I'm not going to do that. But Jesus comes to clean us from the inside out and completely. I can't measure up. I can't do enough. I can't get it right by myself. I need a power greater than me. Jesus is that power. He demonstrated that power in his life, death, burial, and especially in the resurrection. And that same power is available to you if you're ready to surrender to him. Give your life to Jesus. It's the best decision you'll ever make. Stop embracing the lie. That ocean that's out here around us is ready to jump in. Ready for you to jump in and partake of the beauty that is there. If only you'll stop believing the lie. Receive Jesus. Come to him. He wants to save you. He wants to wash you. In Acts 22:16, Ananias told Paul, he said, "Why tarriest thou? What are you waiting for?" He says, "Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord." Maybe there's someone here this morning. What are you waiting for? Why not rise? Why not come even right now? Matter of fact, I'm going to give you halfway up. Let's all stand to our feet right now. You're already up. We're already halfway there. You're already halfway there. All you need now is to come forward. We'll take your confession. We'll plunge you in a water grave of baptism. And you'll be freed from your sins, and you'll start this new walk with Jesus Christ. If you're ready to make that commitment, make that decision, why don't we come right now as we stand, as we're already standing, and let's sing the song of invitation. Blessed assured, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine, heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of his spirit. Is there one this morning? Is there one this morning? Praising my Savior.